Our scripture is from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Chiefs. It's going to be good. They've played well. My wife will tell you this, I didn't used to follow sports at all or football. It's just probably, I'm one of those fans, like, since they've started winning, I've started watching them. I'm going to admit, like, that's, but, you know, I've always enjoyed kind of playing different sports, but just was never a real avid sports watcher. But the last 2-3 years, I've become more of a sports watcher and have enjoyed it. They've played well. And who doesn't want to be a winner, right? So we've done well. Well, today's Communion Sunday. It's Family Sunday. Today we're talking about the three simple rules. These three simple rules comes out of our Methodist heritage. In 2 weeks on February 19th, it'll be President's Day weekend. My sermon is going to be Methodist Family Beliefs. I didn't grow up United Methodist, and so a lot of y'all have a leg up on me. I didn't grow up United Methodist, probably in college, well, definitely in college, is when I started being a part of a Methodist church. And so I'm going to talk about the concept within Methodist beliefs that helped me finally get it, because for a long time I didn't get things like baptizing infants and sprinkling and, you know, kind of open communion table, different things like that. And so there was finally something that connected with me that helped me say, oh, I get it, and that's awesome. That's awesome. So I want to talk to you about what's awesome about our beliefs and why it almost flies a little bit countercultural today, why our beliefs are very much countercultural. Along those same lines, March 5th, in 1 month, I'm going to have a friend and colleague up here. His name's Pastor Derek Vreeland. He's going to come and I'm going to interview him. And Pastor Derek has his doctorate in ministry from Asbury Seminary. He also has written several Christian books. He's not United Methodist. He actually grew up Southern Baptist, which we have a lot of in our community. And now he's an associate pastor at a non-denominational church. And my friend Pastor Derek and I, we're going to talk about a phrase as we kind of have entered into Lent at that point, getting closer to Holy Week. And the phrase that we commonly use is the phrase, Jesus died for your sins. And so we're going to talk about what we kind of mean by that when we say Jesus died for your sins, and what other churches, other denominations might mean when they say Jesus died for your sins. This is a conversation I've been thinking about. I actually talked to him 8 months ago, and we began to kind of plan this out, to have this conversation. So I am super excited to have him here to talk about some distinctions in this conversation around what it means to say Jesus died for your sins. So because of that, Communion and Family Sundays for the next 2 months will be the second Sunday of the month, not the first Sunday of the month. The reason is next month, Pastor Derek will be with us. Be good to have a little bit more time for that conversation. So moving communion in March, moving communion in April, because the second Sunday in April is Easter. And I've rather enjoyed having communion on Easter. I didn't always used to do that, but I'm starting to enjoy that practice more. And so we're going to move it in April because of Easter. So that's just a quick glimpse into the next month, into February, some of March, of what will be happening here on Sunday mornings. Back to the three simple rules, right? The three simple rules were created by John Wesley to help guide early faith groups that met and gathered to talk about what it means to be Christian. And they were doing this before there was ever a Methodist church. Before there was a Methodist church, there was a Methodist movement. And so the Methodist movement utilized these three simple rules often. People were looking for simple ways to understand their faith and to frame their lives. And so John Wesley gave simple structure with a framework he called the three general rules, is what's actually in our book of discipline. Is it refers to the three general rules. And so John Wesley's three general rules were do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. This way, Christians could think about the decisions they were going to make. They could think about their life. They could kind of simply ask themselves three questions throughout the week. They could ask, is what I'm about to do going to hurt someone? Is this good for others? Am I loving God in my life right now? And so an early Methodist group, they would meet, they would spend some time in their meetings posing these questions to one another, these important questions. And these questions would help frame their theology and beliefs. Do I have beliefs that are kind of justifying me doing some of these things I don't want to do? You know, today it's possible that maybe you've been in Methodist church a long time and you've maybe never heard about the three simple rules before. It's very possible. But these three simple rules guided early American Methodists in their day-to-day lives. These were very important rules for them to remember to discuss. So before putting this sermon together, I read a very little book. It's called The Three Simple Rules. It's by Bishop Reuben Job. Is it Job or Job? I think it's Job, right? Job. Bishop Job, and I think this was written first in 1976. Very, very small, very little book. You can read this about an hour and a half is how long it would take. Yeah. Well, is that slow or fast? I read it in about an hour and a half. So, it's called Three Simple Rules, A Wesleyan Way of Living. And so today I want to remind you the three simple rules of a Methodist. Since this is Family Sunday, I'm going to use some examples for adults as to how we can abide by these three simple rules. Since we got kids here, I'm going to talk to the kids today, share three simple rules for kids and how you all can apply these things in your lives, right? The first simple rule is do no harm. Galatians 5:15 says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. And we should probably keep in mind that 6 out of the 10 commandments begin with the phrase, thou shalt not, right? 6 of the 10 things are things you should not do to God, to others, because you might harm them if you do them. Now, generally speaking, when we choose to harm someone, it's often because we feel validated in harming them. It's a validated response. Stealing, violence, desiring what someone else has, I deserve it, and they have it coming to them. And the bad thing is what I mean, they have coming to them. Vengeance can validate our harm of someone. I'm just getting them back for what they did to me. That's all I'm doing. I'm showing them what it feels like to have this done. It's also sometimes out of this fear of what someone might do to us. Like, they haven't done it yet, but I think they're going to do it, right? How many wars have begun because of what we think someone's going to do to us? So fear might compel us to hurt or to steal from someone, but sometimes it's just our desire to maybe get ahead in life. I just want to get ahead in life. I just want better things for myself. So I'm a Rotarian. As a Rotarian, one of the things that I appreciate about Rotary is the four-way test. It's kind of like four simple rules for Rotarians, except they added one more just to overcomplicate it, right? We did it in three. They did it in four. Number two on the four-way test is it fair to all concerned? Now, that's a pretty good way to think about it, do no harm, right? Especially if you're a business person. If you're a business person, are you offering a fair deal for all concerned, or are you taking advantage of someone, possibly harming them, kind of jeopardizing them financially or otherwise? Now, if you are fair in your dealings with others, and if you're honest, then it is unlikely that you will harm them, that you will bring hurt to them. To talk to our kids, right? To talk to our youth today, it would seem the greatest practice of do no harm might be in your social media habits, right? In social media, which adults can be guilty of too. I don't want to exclude the rest of us from that because I've seen it happen, maybe even been a part of it. And so are you about to post something on social media that will hurt someone? Once again, you probably wouldn't think about doing it if they didn't have it coming to them, right? Well, they've got it coming to them, Pastor Jim. Maybe they said something about you. Well, they said something about me. I'm just saying something back. I'm just clearing this up. But there is this ability on our phones to have a conversation through them, to talk through them. And I've found that oftentimes when we have struggles with other folks and there's something going on social media, sometimes a phone call, it's amazing how our tones change when we're talking to someone versus kind of texting or messaging. So maybe a phone call can help clear something up. So John Wesley's do no harm means let's slow our roll on social media and not get caught up in some of the hurt that can happen there. And if you've ever experienced it, you know how much it can hurt if somebody does that to you. So let's do what's fair and let's do what's right by ourselves, but also by others. Let's be careful that we aren't validating the harm that we're doing somebody else, because there's a name for that. When we harm someone else and it's validated, that's called vengeance. That's called vengeance. So do no harm is very important, and it's the first thing that we learn. The second thing is, and even better, is do good. Do good with your life. Remember our scripture lesson. Remember what was read, Colossians 3:12. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone else. Luke 6:27, Jesus was always saying hard things that people were like, what? Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Do good in normal ways and do good in extreme ways as Jesus tended to do. It is love that urges us to do good as opposed to doing nothing at all. Because sometimes we can do nothing at all. So let doing good be the deciding factor in your relationships, the relationships you form, in the organizations that you join, that you're a part of, in the decisions that you make with both your time and your money. Consider doing what is good. I want to share with you all some of the letters that I've received on your behalf from people in our community, organizations in our community. Speaking of doing good, this one is from the Salvation Army. It says, thank you so much for your financial donation. It is really appreciated. Sue Watson, Salvation Army. This one says, thank you, First United Methodist Church, for your donation to Live to Give Hope, the Fostering Hope Closet. This one, on behalf of the entire Lebanon Area Foundation Board of Directors, please accept our appreciation of your support of our Community Cares campaign. Thanks for your generous donation because of your Pumpkin Patch fundraiser. It's very appreciated. Signed, Melinda Fries, who's also the president of Rotary. First United Methodist Church, from Elevate Lebanon, your generosity has made all the difference. Thank you for being a part of this very important mission. Thank you for doing your part to elevate our community. Thank you for your donation. I also want to add that our men's group, a couple weeks ago, went and Elevate Lebanon did a homeless day where homeless people came in, received a hot meal and items, and we kind of did a head count for kind of government funding for Elevate. And our men's group came and served food for 125 unsheltered people in our community. Isn't that amazing? It's sad that we have that many homeless people, but wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful that the Methodist men did that and supported our community in that way. I'm also excited to share with you now the total from our Christmas Eve offering to our sister church in Mozambique. It took us a while to put those totals together from Christmas Eve because money kept coming in. Even in January, we had people continue to donate. And so we finally got an in total. Remember that our goal for our Christmas Eve offering was to raise enough money to be able to finish the building of their parsonage for their pastor that had been started but not completed because they ran out of money. And so our goal for Christmas Eve service was to raise $21,230 in order to help finish that out, which is a large sum of money to come up with. That's a large sum of money. We raised $22,347. Yeah. Which is absolutely astounding. Over 1,000 more than what we needed. So we are going to build a house for our sister church, Chukwuka United Methodist Church. And I'm sure that pastor and that congregation will be very thankful for that. Even more so, I'm just thankful to be able to participate them as the body of Christ. And so doing some good for our friends in another part of the world. So these are just some of the ways that our congregation has done good. Once again, all the English teachers in here are like, what'd you just say? Yeah, I said it, done good. We done good and continue to do good for different organizations and for our community. So do good, be kind, be charitable, be thoughtful. This rule extends into all areas of your lives. If you're a boss at work, consider how you can be good to your employees, which I know you've got to hold up that accountability, but do good. If you're an employee, how can you be doing good for the people who are your customers and coworkers? Doing good in the workplace. Do good for your neighbor, for the new person on the street. How can you do something good for them? Do good in the name of Christ because Christ compels you to it. Your faith compels you to it. For our kids today, would you consider doing, and our youth as well, would you consider doing good for the adults in your lives? I'm sure the adults in your lives would appreciate it, right? Know that the adults in your lives oftentimes are feeling the same kind of emotions that you feel. Adults, we tend to get stressed, we tend to get sad, we tend to get angry, we get hurt, we can feel overlooked at times. And so do good things for your teachers, because your teachers, you mean a lot to them, and it really helps them when they know that they mean a lot to you. Do good things for your parents or those who are raising you, right? Help out around the house. When you keep your room clean, something as simple as that. Moving those dishes from the table to the kitchen sink. I know my wife appreciates it when I do that. Do those good things at home. And when we do good things, it makes God smile that we're doing those good things. So, do good in the small ways, do good in the large ways, and the world is a better place because of the good that you do. So, do no harm, do good, and last, most importantly, stay in love with God. Luke 10:27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And let's not forget that the apostle Peter, he had betrayed Jesus Christ 3 times, and after the crucifixion, Peter encounters the risen Jesus. And you might think that, well, gosh, the risen Jesus, when he sees Peter and he's alone with him, he says, hey, buddy, you owe me an apology. I want that apology. Or, hey, buddy, what happened? Why did you do this? Why did you deny me? That's not what Jesus does. Jesus looks at Peter, and the thing that he says is, do you love me? And he asks it 3 times for every time Peter denies him, do you love me? You know, it's hard to imagine But at the heart of all of our religious doing, all our religious being, is a resounding cry from heaven asking, do you love me? It's easy to fall out of love with God. We can quickly boil our faith down to a series of actions, a moral code. We can think this is what God mostly desires, that's what I'm mostly doing, so God and I must be good. But what God desires, he desires these actions, he desires you to live out those that moral code, whatever it is. He desires for you to do it not because you're afraid of him, because you want to just escape hell and choose heaven. He wants you to do it because you love him, because you desire his presence, because you know his wisdom is good. And so you're present with God in worship. He wants your presence. You're present with God now, today, in this moment. Hopefully you're present with God. When you read scripture, you're present with God. When you pray, when you're charitable and you do these acts of kindness, you're with God. When you gather together with others in his name for his sake, because of your faith, when you do good things. Bishop Reuben Job wrote the Three Simple Rules book that I held up earlier, this little one. He also wrote this book. This is called A Guide to Prayer for Ministers and Other Servants. It's a devotional scripture and Christian readings and prayer guide, follows our liturgical seasons of Easter and Christmas and on and on. And this little book is how I sit in the presence of God many times during the week. It's how I love him and keep in love with him. It's my practice. What is your practice of staying in love with God? Sometimes love, and we experience this in our relationships, sometimes love is in the things that we do regularly without fail. We just consistently do them. Sometimes love is in the new and fresh ways that we bring vitality and a fresh vitality into our relationships and our relationship with God. So are you willing to risk and to do something new and fresh in order to encounter God in a new way? Are you willing to risk? Because that's sometimes what it feels like, right? We get really comfortable. It's a little risky when we step out into a new direction, a new way, to love God in a new way. So, you know, like I said, Pastor Marcia is going to be offering a Lenten class over the Gospel of Luke, and these classes have been attended very well. People have enjoyed them a great deal. Marcia's a wonderful teacher when it comes to these studies. And so maybe normally you see that in the bulletin and you see that opportunity, you think, oh, well, that's nice. I'm sure people will go and enjoy that. But what if you risked a little? What if you said, you know what, I normally wouldn't attend one of those Lenten classes, but I think this Lent, I'll give it a try. I'll do it. I'm going to risk. I'm going to step out. And maybe it could be one of the best decisions you ever made. Maybe you experience God in a new and a fresh way. You rekindle that love. For our kids and for our youth, same opportunities for you all, right? At a young age, you learn to develop consistency in your time with God. Develop a loving heart. And that's what we're hoping to do. That's what Molly, for those of you that are kids, Molly wants to do that in Sunday school class and in kids' church. Like, she's helping you all hopefully try to learn to love God more. For our youth, we have Sunday school and youth for our youth as well, that, you know, we're trying to help kind of develop this loving heart towards God. I'd also encourage you, start reading your Bible now. I remember at a very young age beginning to kind of read my Bible every night. And so do that. Maybe if you're really young, ask a loved one at home to do that with you. And maybe it's one of those books that's a kid's story a night. Have them read a Bible story a night. Or maybe it's a chapter a night. And just keep reading that. And then don't forget your prayers, your nightly prayers. Tell God what you're thankful for in your day. Kids and youth, tell God what you're nervous about and what you're anxious about, and how you can use his support, how he can come alongside you. Learn to stay in love with God because God loves you. So even though stay in love with God, it's the last thing listed, it's the last rule, it's really the thing that if we consistently do, we'll always do the first two things. Because we love God, we will do good and we will not desire to harm other people. The three simple rules are a guiding light for our lives. It's what they are, a guiding light. They are a means of reflection. Can you look back on your week? Do you see where you potentially harmed someone? Do you see where you did good for someone? Can you see where there was a pattern of loving God in your week? Because that's our measure. So as we prepare to have communion together, I would ask you to think about the three simple rules. How will they guide you in the week to come? Are there some ways that now that you're thinking about the last week that you can correct for the week that's ahead of you? Are there some ways that, yeah, maybe I did hurt someone. I need to go back and apologize and try not to, you know, do that next week. Are there ways where you failed to do good? And you're like, you know what, I can pick that up next week. Have you fallen out of love? Are you beginning to feel the effects of that? Are you kind of begrudging being here this morning, right? It's like, oh, I got to go to church, right? You know, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it. Or maybe somebody made you do it. You're sitting next to somebody and you're getting the elbow right now, right? Sometimes that's happening because we've fallen out of love with God. And we need to develop those habits again. So now is the right time to right those wrongs in your heart and in your mind so that you're better prepared for a new week. So as we enter into communion, I'm just going to give you a little bit of space to do that. I'm going to give you a little bit of time, just short meditation time, to think about these questions, these three simple rules of do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. If we can bow together, give you just a moment to reflect and to think about the new week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these three simple rules. Really, you know, anything that's complicated, it's hard for us to really say, yeah, I can do that. I can wholeheartedly do that. And so sometimes this Christian faith thing can be too complicated and Scripture can seem too complicated. And so it's great to break things down and to create simple beginnings. So Lord, help us to never get too far away from this simple beginning of our heritage of three simple rules. Lord, in the week that's to come, help convict our hearts when we have harmed someone, when we missed an opportunity to do good, or when we are not loving you with all of who we are, because that is what we eagerly desire to do, so let your Spirit fall upon us and help us to do these things in greater ways in the week to come. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.